This is AMDA On The Go, your gateway to expert discussions, journal article reviews, and innovation in post-acute and long-term care. AMDA On The Go is a presentation of the Society for Post-Acute and Long-Term Care Medicine. Support for this podcast is provided by Afoundria, the makers of ChartPath. This podcast is eligible for ABPLM pre-approved certified medical director credits. Details will be provided at the end of this podcast. And now here's our host for AMDA On The Go, Dr. Wayne Saltzman.
Welcome to AMDA On The Go. This podcast will focus on the role of the advanced practitioner in the post-acute and long-term care setting. In 2008, and in response to issues such as rapidly changing healthcare settings, an evolving healthcare system with a growth in Medicare and Medicaid populations, the pending Affordable Care Act, and perceived decline in primary care providers, the Institute of Medicine and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation formed a committee, including leaders from nursing, public health, geriatrics, pediatrics, and business, to consider the future of healthcare's largest workforce, its nurses. In the 2010 report, The Future of Nursing, Leading Change, Advancing Health, the committee concluded that nurses should play a fundamental role in healthcare system transformation. The report recommended that nurses should practice to the full extent of their training, achieve higher levels of education, partner with physicians in redesigning care, and plan for future nursing deployment. There was a specific focus on the 250,000 nurses with advanced degrees and their roles in delivering care, independent of supervision. Those nurses were the advanced practice nurses. In a 2015 Annals of Long-Term Care study entitled Comparison of Nurse Practitioner and Physician Practice Models in Nursing Facilities, Karen Melillo and others found that there were no differences in the processes of care between nurse practitioners and physicians, with nurse practitioners completing advanced directives and having end-of-life discussions to a greater extent. Yet, the realm of advanced practice, which includes physician assistants and other nursing specialties, has not been without controversy or debate. In 2016, the American Medical Association board chair reflected his disappointment in the Veterans Administration's unprecedented proposal to allow advanced practitioners to practice independently of a physician's clinical oversight. On the other hand, a 2013 comprehensive review article on advanced practice in the New England Journal of Medicine concluded that those practitioners would be the answer to the daunting challenge of addressing the needs of the aging patient. Where are we today regarding the role of the advanced practitioner? 10 years after the Institute of Medicine study, have they been accepted with open arms as valuable providers of care, or do they remain limited in their capacities? And with specific focus on the post-acute and long-term care setting, how has the advanced practitioner role played out, and where will that role finally settle? Well, when it comes to deliberations about advanced practitioners, I can think of no one better to generate a comprehensive discussion than educator, researcher, certified physician assistant and nurse practitioner, and leader in the care of aging populations than Professor Deborah Bakarjian. And as luck would have it, we are fortunate to have Dr. Bakarjian with us now. Dr. Bakarjian is a clinical professor at the Betty Irene Moore School of Nursing at the University of California, Davis. She teaches health professions, including nurse practitioners, physician assistants, registered nurses, and medical students in areas of quality improvement, patient safety, and geriatrics. She has an additional role focusing on interprofessional education and team-based care. Dr. Bakarjian, welcome to AMDA On The Go.
Thank you very much, Dr. Saltzman. I am really delighted to be here today. Thank you for inviting me.
Dr. Bakarjian, I typically like to start our discussions with somewhat of a historical perspective to set our framework. The advisory board, through its work with its vast network of healthcare members and organizations, and its mission to provide clarity on healthcare's most pressing issues, has recognized and followed the rise of the advanced practitioner since around 2013. It has looked at advanced practice presence as an investment in the care team, but that presence and function appears not to have been so easily realized, even when considering how to properly refer to this cohort. As always, a number of questions to start a discussion. Can you tell us about the evolution of the advanced practitioner? You know, is the role just serving a need, or is there something more fundamental that motivates nurses or college students to pursue further education and dive deeper into the trenches of complex care management? What is the practicality of pursuing a doctorate in nursing practice? And what is the correct name we should be using? We know that mid-level and physician extender are out. Is advanced practitioner suiting and appropriate?
I think you have really brought up questions that are percolating widely within healthcare on those exact same issues. And in fact, I serve on an advisory board here at AMDA, and we are focusing a little bit on language. So we hope to be able to share more about that. But the idea of what we ought to be called is certainly challenging because of the confusion of the many different roles that advanced practitioners play, including physician assistants, nurse practitioners, clinical nurse specialists, nurse midwives, on and on and on. But I think as a collective term, advanced practitioner is appropriate and would be really well accepted by the professions. We certainly have never wanted to create any confusion about what we really are, nurse practitioners, physician assistants, nurse midwives, etc. And we don't want to have confusion about patients being concerned or confused about whether they're talking to a nurse practitioner, a physician assistant, or a physician. So the issue around the doctorate kind of comes into that. And your discussion earlier about the future of nursing report kind of ties in as well. We do believe as healthcare has become more and more complex that all professions need to advance their learning and should practice to the extent of their preparation in terms of their scope of practice. And so that would be true for physicians and specialty physicians and primary care physicians, as well as nurse practitioners and physician assistants. Mm-hmm. The issue around the pursuit of a DNP, I want to talk a little bit about, because I think sometimes there's some confusion about what that role really is, and particularly when we think about a doctor of nursing practice versus somebody like myself who has gotten a PhD in nursing. PhDs are often referred to as doctors, as you well know, as well as medical doctors. And so we've got all these different terms, and maybe not enough terms to really be really descriptive, that sometimes create confusion. Mm. I want to call out two things. For PhDs, you know, the focus for PhDs has been primarily to do greater research in the area of nursing. Mm. And that is different from the doctor of nursing practice, whose role is really to apply that research into practice itself. And so that's why we often talk about the DNP or Doctor of Nursing Practice as being somebody who can really work with others within the health professions around system change and practice transformation. Mm. They're the kind of research that they do is very applied in almost all instances and often systems focused. And so when we talk about whether we should have nurse practitioners and others and registered nurses pursuing a doctor of nursing practice, my response to that is absolutely. Because what we need is more people who can really attack the large systems issues around quality, around safety, around culture, around person-centered care, and changing our health delivery model and changing the way that our systems function to provide higher quality and safer care. And that's a major focus of the DNP role.
Dr. Bakarjan, with regard to the role of the advanced practitioner in general, the common mantra appears to be that physicians should focus on patients who need a higher level of clinical expertise, and advanced practitioners should otherwise be allowed to assume a more autonomous clinical role for patients requiring more straightforward care, like preventative or routine care. The ultimate issue I see appears to be one of confusion or ignorance with regard to the physician or setting view of the advanced practitioner. Somewhat analogous to, you know, providers not understanding the capabilities of a skilled nursing facility, physicians are not always familiar with the advanced practitioner capabilities. What are the barriers to an advanced practitioner operating to his or her full license? You know, I often see advanced practitioners in multiple environments who appear lost or unsupported in their roles. What are appropriate or standard or fundamental expectations that an advanced practitioner should have from the collaborating or team physician or physicians in being able to fulfill his or her role?
I think that's a great question, and it really gets to the crux of the issues that we're seeing. As you have described, and as I have experienced across my many years of being in an advanced practice role, the work that we do varies from setting to setting. It varies from practice to practice in terms of how that role gets implemented and carried out. I want to take a step back and say that one of the barriers that we have to really improving the ability for advanced practitioners to function and function well starts at the state level, because we have so much variation from state to state in terms of the regulatory environment. And we even have disconnects between the regulatory environment at the federal level and the state level. Mm-hmm. And this often creates even more confusion in the field for different practice groups, particularly those that practice across state lines. And there are many areas of our nation that happens. And so that creates, I think, one barrier for sure that we really need to address, so that we had that would work better if we had more of a national standard. The other thing is this concept or the idea that people don't understand the capabilities of advanced practice nurses and advanced practitioners is understandable, because so many different physicians have not had the opportunity to work with a nurse practitioner or a physician assistant in their practices. The other thing that also comes into play, right, is that we all bring our experience to the table when we are in practice. So, for example, many physician assistants start out being a paramedic, for example, or an EMT, or maybe they are a licensed vocational nurse. So they're going to bring that level of experience when they start out in practice. They are going to then partner with physicians and then work with that physician to work out what is it that they're going to do in their combined practice. Mm-hmm. Nurse practitioners often work in the same kind of way. I was an intensive care nurse for many years, and so I brought that kind of expertise to my practice to start out with. And then I worked with great physician colleagues to really develop my role within our practice. And my role in practices was different depending on who I was collaborating with. Mm-hmm. As you well know, I am a huge proponent of collaborative practice and team-based care. Yes. And I would say that in terms of making sure that advanced practitioners are supported, we should be thinking about ourselves as part of the team. Physicians should think of themselves as part of the team. And in doing that, we would work together to be able to understand each other's strengths and weaknesses. And the best practices have figured that out, have figured out that the nurse practitioner is really skilled at looking at skin conditions, or really works well teaching and helping diabetic patients. The physician partner may be much better in working in the cardiovascular realm or with a certain set of disease entities. So I think one of the things that we have to do is, if we approach it from a team perspective, we can ensure and make sure that anybody new coming onto the team, whether that be a new physician who's just going into practice, and I've helped many over the years, or a new nurse practitioner or physician is assistant coming into the practice, that we that have more experience work with them to help everybody succeed. Because when nurse practitioners succeed, physicians succeed, and patients get better care.
Our interview will continue after this brief message from Afoundria, the creators of ChartPath. Our world is changing, and the demands on your practice are growing. Nobody wants to just buy an EHR. You want a technology partner by your side. That's why they built ChartPath, a simple-to-manage and simple-to-use EHR backed by a dedicated team 24/7 that will guide your practice through MIPS and help you manage your growth. Most importantly, ChartPath is efficient, so you can continue to give your patients the high level of care you are known for and still make it home in time for dinner.
We're talking with Dr. Deborah Bakarjian about advanced practitioners. Dr. Bakarjian, I want to continue this discussion from my last question. In an article from the Journal of Advanced Nursing entitled Advanced Practice Nursing Roles, Development, Implementation, and Evaluation, Denise Bryant-Lacosius and others recognized 15 years ago that the incorporation of advanced practice was not going to be essentially straightforward. They argued a distinction was required from other nursing roles, and they advocated for better planning and efforts in environmental factors, structures, and resources necessary for successful advanced practice. In the post-acute long-term care setting, what is the greatest impact that advanced practitioners can have? And for those struggling to realize that goal, again, how can we as physicians, facilities, systems, or even via societies support them?
I'm going to go back a little bit to this concept of team-based care. Mm-hmm. And when we think about the presence of advanced practitioners in a skilled nursing or a post-acute and long-term care environment, one of the things that can be advantageous, and which we are starting to see this in a variety of different homes across our nation, is that contrary to the physicians in many cases, physicians not being able to be on site for long periods of time because they have private practice or they have hospital requirements, advanced practitioners could be there, have a presence in the facility for extended periods of time. Mm-hmm. They can be the kind of glue that we often see with really skilled registered nurses as well, to make sure that the issues related to the patients and residents who are in our facilities, related to the staff who are in our facilities, and the needs of those different stakeholders are translated well to the physicians who may come in for a shorter period of time. Maybe the physicians are coming in once a week or once every other week, or even if they're coming 2 to 3 times a week, they may be coming for short periods of time. And so the role of an advanced practitioner then could be that they are helping translate what's going on in the facility, helping to prioritize what the issues are, helping to help the nurses understand what really must be transmitted or communicated to the physician provider, helping to manage some of the more routine kinds of issues, helping the nursing staff to understand some of the issues that are going on with the patients and residents who are there, interpreting lab work, doing education for families, helping out when some acute incident happens to help guide the appropriate care. So there is a real advantage to having the presence of an advanced practitioner in the nursing home for extended periods of time, more than just being there for a couple of hours, 2 to 3 days a week, which is often what our physicians are doing out in the community. Now, that role is obviously different in a staff model like the VA or a staff model like some of the Jewish homes and other veterans homes. Mm-hmm. So, but in the community, I think that there's a great role for advanced practitioners to be able to be part of the team that helps to improve care and enhance the experience of the staff and the patients and residents.
Can you just say a few words about the role of GAPNA, the Advanced Practice Society, and how it is helping to move advanced practice forward?
Absolutely, I'd love to. GAPNA, of course, is the Gerontological Advanced Practice Nurses Association, and I've been a member for many years. I am a past president of the organization. GAPNA is doing so much to first help people to understand the role in terms of how they communicate with other health professions groups and also with society. They also are doing a lot in terms of educating our advanced practice nurses who are caring for older adults in a variety of different settings, more than just the post-acute and long-term care setting. There's also focus on acute care in the hospital environment, primary care in the ambulatory care environment. There's groups that focus on palliative care and hospice. And GAPNA has done a great job over the last decade or so in really trying to expand and clarify the focus of all the different types of practitioners, advanced practitioners, nurses in particular, who care for older adults. I was the president of GAPNA at the time where we took on the new name. We used to be focused more as nurse practitioners in long-term care. And when we made that transition, it was to bring on all of these different types of nurses, like clinical nurse specialists in particular, to recognize their importance in the world of caring for older adults, and then to further advocate for the very different roles that we all play in the care of older adults. Mm.
Dr. Karajan, as has become customary in the time we have remaining, I wish to be a little provocative with you. In 2014, the AMDA House of Delegates voted to make two significant changes to the society at the same time. It recognized the prominence of post-acute care with a name change to, as we've said, the Society for Post-Acute and Long-Term Care Medicine, and it made a decision to recognize advanced practitioners as full members of the society to serve and chair committees, participate in the House of Delegates, and even be elected to the board. This recognition of advanced practice is not unique just to the society. For example, in 2017, my former institution altered its bylaws to make advanced practitioners active members of the medical staff. You know, recognition is one thing, but action and acceptance are others, especially when it comes to patients and families often confused by the, you know, who's in charge phenomenon, something we touched on briefly before. What is the end game for advanced practice? Will the lines remain occasionally blurred between advanced practitioner and physician in the care of our patients? Is there a battle going on for care? And, you know, is there any reason to think our patients will be casualties or collateral damage in the process?
I think that you bring up really important issues. And I would say that it is our responsibility, yours and mine, and all of our physician and advanced practice nurse colleagues, to make sure that our patients never become casualties or collateral damage because of these processes. Mm. I do think that there is an end game for advanced practice in terms of it being our goal to make sure that everybody understands who nurse practitioners, clinical nurse specialists, physician assistants, who they are, and the role that they play. Lines are blurred between advanced practitioner and physicians in the care of the patient in terms of the patient's understanding of the various roles. I think it's our duty to make sure that our patients understand who we are, what we do within the team, our areas of responsibility, and how we work together as a team. I think in terms of the battle is going on around some of the barriers to what seems to be very reasonable practice. I hesitate, we talk a lot about autonomy. And I do believe that that nurse practitioners can be autonomous. But you know what? In this day and age, with the complexity of care that we have, no one is completely autonomous. I think we are accountable and responsible for the things that we do, and that we are accountable and responsible to provide care in which we are competent. And that's based on our education, it's based on our experience, but even physicians are not completely autonomous when you stop to think about it. Because think about the specialty care. I don't think that most physicians would try to provide care in a specialty area that they really haven't been trained for.
And they can't.
They can't really do that. And so we all have the limitations of our educational preparation and the experience that we have. And we're responsible and accountable to our patients for that. Mm. So I look at it a little bit differently in terms of this quote battle. I think this is part of the evolution of healthcare. I think the complexity of healthcare is driving us more and more towards working together as a team, towards understanding our own limitations and relying upon others to help out when it gets beyond our scope. And I don't see the nurse practitioners and the clinical nurse specialists and the physician assistants being any different than the subspecialties within our medical colleagues.
We have been privileged to speak with and learn from advanced practitioner leader, researcher, and educator, Dr. Deborah Bakerjian. Dr. Bakerjian, thank you so very much for spending your time with AMDA On The Go.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Saltzman. It has been my privilege to be here.
References for this podcast can be found at paltc.podbean.com. Until next time, I'm Dr. Wayne Saltzman for this innovation podcast that we call AMDA On The Go.
Support for this podcast is provided by Afoundria, the makers of ChartPath. If you are a physician and interested in obtaining ABPLM, pre-approved certified medical director credits for certification or recertification, please email cmd@paltc.org with your name and the podcast's title. Thank you.